An important design element for the Haynes Harbor expansion is nailed down, and a Whitehorse mining project expected to export its product out of Skagway hits a legal roadblock. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. The Haynes Ports and Harbor Committee on Monday made an important step forward in the small boat harbor project by deciding to recommend the borough pursue a wave barrier type breakwater for the harbor entrance. The type of breakwater to use has been a sticking point in the design of the harbor project. Engineers have said a rubble mound breakwater, like the current breakwater at the harbor, are the most reliable and offer the most protection. But they are also the most expensive type of breakwater. That is especially true in the Haynes design because of the seafloor and soils where the breakwater would be installed for an expansion. There is a deep, soft clay layer and sloping seafloor that would make a rubble mound more difficult and expensive to construct. Dick Somerville with P&D Engineers was on the phone with the committee on Monday to go over recent design tweaks and cost estimates. He reminded the group that the original rubble mound design from about a year ago comes to $23 million. That includes construction, dredging, and contingency. It doesn't include contingency if the project was to run into any contaminated soils. The costs for the wave barrier design stand at $14.3 million. Somerville also went over some recently reworked designs that engineers came up with while trying different configurations or combinations of the design to save money. But none came in under the $14.3 million, and some actually went up to more than $30 million. Somerville said engineers have done all the tweaking of designs they can do at this point. The only way to save more money is to reduce the size of the project.
You know, I think that, you know, the lesson that we've learned here was that we're not able to avoid the wick drains entirely. They're always going to be there for these options here. But we do know that we could continue to cut costs on all of these options, but it's going to be a matter of cutting the program. It's just going to have to get smaller. So we could shorten up the wave barrier, we could reduce the number of slips in the harbor, we can do all of that. So I just think the only way to reduce costs right now is to reduce facilities.
The borough had about $19.5 million from state legislative grants and state general obligation bonds to go toward the project. Some of that money has been spent on design work and testing for the breakwater. The borough is still pursuing other funding options. With all that in mind, the five members of the committee present Monday voted to recommend the borough move ahead with a wave barrier design. Here's committee chair Norm Hughes.
We can keep dredging up and working new concepts and looking at rock and rock and more rock, but speaking to voting for a wave permeable breakwater because we cannot escape this wick drain technology and the cost associated with that and the depth and the size of the rubble mound proposals. We just don't have the capacity to finance something short of going to the public and asking for money here in Haynes. And if we want something to move ahead, and we have a five-year timeline to spend this money that was appropriated for us, this project, we're going to have to move and just keep moving along like we have been moving. This is the next little step.
The committee also discussed needing to continue with design of the inside of the harbor and to try to find cost savings in that portion of the project. The recommendation to continue with a wave barrier breakwater will go to the borough assembly. Somerville said he will work up a sampling and analysis plan, a necessary step to get permitting for the dredging portion of the project. He estimates that if the borough keeps moving ahead, that dredging and sheet piling could begin on the project in the spring or summer of 2015. The CBC is reporting a Nevada company is facing a second lawsuit over its plans to remine the tailings from the Whitehorse copper mine. Chuck Eaton owns the Nevada-based mining company Eagle Industrial. He has plans to remine the Whitehorse copper mine tailings for magnetite, truck the product to Skagway, and ship it from there to markets in the Far East. In 2010, Eaton hired Access Consulting to help lead him through the permitting process. Access did that, and the permits were issued. However, the license called for Eagle to dump its own mine waste into one of the old open pits at Whitehorse Copper. That triggered a lawsuit by Coyne & Sons, who hold the claim to the open pit in question. Coyne & Sons allege the Yukon government illegally licensed Eagle to dump its waste on their claims. Now, the CBC reports that in documents filed in Yukon Supreme Court, Access Consulting alleges that Eagle Industrial refused to pay for its consulting work. The consulting firm is suing the mining company for $600,000 in services. Access is also filing liens against all of Eagle's mineral claims in the tailings. That could put the claims in limbo. Eaton told the CBC he's making good progress on his mining plans, but won't comment about the legal claims against him. On Thursday, the Skagway Assembly will be discussing Eaton's plan to use the Skagway port to export the magnetite. For the last few months, those plans were up in the air as Eaton and the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority were at odds over a user agreement for the ore terminal. Those differences have apparently been smoothed over because Eaton is asking the Skagway Assembly to back his preliminary plans for a temporary building at the ore terminal. Eaton writes in an email to the borough that ADA is asking if the municipality supports the project before its board of directors will consider approving it. However, no mention is made of the pending lawsuit and how that might affect the project or when production will begin. And here's a story you might have already seen on our KHNS News Facebook page. Delta Airlines is resuming its long-dormant Seattle to Juneau flights. But they'll only happen once a day and only during the summer. The airline's website shows bookings are now available from May 30th to August 31st, 2014. Northbound flights will leave Seattle at 6:30 a.m. and arrive in Juneau at 9:40 a.m. Southbound flights will leave Juneau at 6:45 p.m. and arrive in Seattle just after 8 p.m. The Delta website quotes round-trip prices at about $500. That's about $70 less than Alaskan Airlines charges for similar flights right now. Delta officials could not be reached for immediate comment, but a corporate communications staffer said an announcement could be released this week. An Alaskan Airlines spokeswoman said she was not sure whether the company would comment. Delta and Alaska are mileage and flight sharing partners, listing some of each other's flights under their own brand. But they've become increasingly competitive lately. Delta has been expanding flights to and from SeaTac Airport, where Alaska is the largest tenant. Some of those flights directly compete with Alaska Airlines. Atlanta-based Delta used to fly to the capital city. Juneau Airport officials say that ended in 1996. A Seattle fundraiser for the Jilkat Kwan Cultural Heritage Center recently raised $54,000 for the proposed Klukwan Center. Project leader Lonnie Hotch helped organize the event that took place December 7th at the Burke Museum on the University of Washington campus in Seattle. It was attended by 55 people, she said. Money was raised through tickets and an auction of donated art items. Donated items included pieces from artists like Preston Singletary, John Beard, Steve Brown, Harold Jacobs, Tommy Joseph, Clarissa Rizal, Cheryl Samuels, Jim Heaton, and Ray Troll, who served as auctioneer along with Marvin Oliver. A painting by Bill Holm was the highest ticket item, selling for $8,000. There were locally made items up for auction as well, like a sea otter scarf by Jenny Hotch Hill, Ray Watkins' bear dagger with moose hide sheath, and locally smoked salmon and preserves. The proposed cultural center in Klukwan will house several exhibits and is meant to help rebuild and restore cultural heritage in Klukwan, according to organizers. This year, the project gained momentum when it was announced that the Whale House artifacts would be displayed there. Those art pieces are well known throughout the art world, and Hotch said the Seattle event highlighted that fact.
There's a lot of interest in Seattle, in Northwest Coast art, and in the Whale House collection, and I knew that we would get a pretty good turnout there.
Hotch said several other village members traveled to Seattle for the event, including Kimberly Strong, Jones Hotch Jr., Tony Strong, and Charlie and Elsie Spud. Other relatives from the Seattle area and as far away as California joined the event, too. And while it was successful, Hotch said she's not sure she'll organize another fundraiser like it.
I don't want to keep tapping into the artists. I mean, I think it was a huge thing for them to contribute for this. But they have to make a living, too, and I don't want to keep asking them for more donations.
The Jukat Kwan Cultural Heritage Center will be a 12,000-square-foot building. Hotch said organizers have raised and spent about $3.5 million toward the construction so far and are working to raise another $4 million, although she's looking at ways to whittle those costs down even more.
We haven't completely finished up the phase one construction yet, but we're looking upwards of $150,000 to carry forward for phase two construction. From that $3.5 million that we got from the legislature a few years ago, we haven't used that money up yet. We expected to for phase one, but our contractors have come in under budget and have really worked with us to stretch the dollars.
To read about the center or the December 7th auction, visit JukatKwanHeritageCenter.org. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.